You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1432.
But I always leave it to title. We send all that stuff to title, and they work for both of us. They don't work for me. They don't work for you. They're just making sure that everything gets transferred over legally. And so they ultimately get the final word on what needs to happen. So if they get all that paperwork and they go, yep, this is all we need. Cool. Easy peasy.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hello. Hey, Bob, this is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing just fine, sir. How about you?
I'm great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good. Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time for me today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for looking into this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, Chad kind of gave me the kind of cliff notes of kind of what you're going through and some of the issues you're having with the tenants. Can you kind of tell me a little bit more about that and like the issues you're having with them right now?
Well, I mean, it's just, so they moved in like 6 months ago. I had a dishwasher, and their dishwasher was fine because the guy who just was renting it out never had an issue or any problems with it. So I said, okay, I'll replace the dishwasher. Then they wanted me to put grab bars in for grandma. And I'm all, well, I don't know about grab bars because I think it's a liability. If I put them in, something happens to grandma.
Sure.
So, but whatever. Long story short, so I bought them for them, and they had her. It's a girl and her grandma that are living there with a little kid, and now she's pregnant again, and it's just a shit show. So anyways, last week they've had some plumbing issues, so I call a plumber right away. Plumber goes out and does it, and then plumber issues again with it, and I know what it is because I lived in that house for 9 years and never, ever had an issue. But the last tenant prior had a plumbing issue, so I had it snaked, and it's just a snake. But the only problem is it's a pain in the ass because the snake has to go up from the roof because nobody can seem to find the cutouts that are on the ground.
Oh, okay.
So they go up on the roof and snake it that way. And there's never been a problem. So I go into this house today to shoot, and I bought this stuff to see if it would let the drains go down again, and it didn't. So anyways, plumbers are coming, but who knows when they're coming because everybody's booked solid. So I just get in the house, and they've been in there for 6 months. They haven't unpacked. It's a shit show, and I guarantee, because it was my grandparents' house, passed down to my mom, and then passed down to me, and then I'm just done. My mom's probably flipping it in her grave the way that these people have treated this house. And it's an older house. It's a 70s house, but I redid the floors. I put in, you know, I did new refrigerator, new dishwasher, new stove, and I keep up on the roof. And, I've always kept up on the house. And it's just seeing your house like this. I told my girlfriend, I'm done. I can't do it no more.
It sounds like as far as landlords go, you are doing exactly and everything that you can to make these people happy.
Right. Neither one of them has a job. And, you know, so the air conditioner had a, I don't know if you know anything about air conditioners. So during the summertime, the air conditioner went out, and I had an air conditioning company go out, and it ended up being the squirrel wheel, which is some little round wheel that, I don't know, makes air go or something. I'm not 100% sure.
Sure.
So I had that replaced, and I said, look, I mean, I've been in the house several times. I go, what do you keep the temperature? She goes, oh, well, we keep it at 62. And I'm I told her, I said, look, if you break my AC unit, I'm not replacing it because nobody runs an AC unit at 62.
Nobody.
I run mine at 72 at nighttime. And when I'm not there, it was like pumped up to 78 or 80, or I turn the thing off.
Yeah.
But these people never leave. Nobody has a job. They're living off Social Security. It's my fault for letting them in this house.
We don't have to go there. It's you know, you had somebody who needed a place. It worked out at the moment.
And I'm that freaking nice guy that my girlfriend goes, oh, you should run them, check them. I go, you know what? Everybody needs help every once in a while. So I'm the guy, but I'm also the guy that gets shit on every time too.
Yeah. Well, the world needs more of you, Bob. I'm telling you that right now.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay. So obviously there's some issues there. I think I heard that they're not paying rent, not to the extent that they're supposed to.
Rent, but here was the thing on that. So the last couple months, they've been late 2 weeks. And then the last month, they go, hey, my grandmother doesn't get her Social Security check till the second Wednesday of every month. Then why didn't you guys tell me this from the beginning?
Yeah.
And I would have had the rent paid on the second Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's just, so I leave electricity, water, and everything else in my name for a dumb reason, thinking, okay, well, if they don't pay rent, I can shut everything off and I have every right to do that. Well, the electric bill called me 2 weeks ago and said they're going to turn off the power at that house because they haven't paid in 3 months. So they were $1,200 behind on electric. And I call her up and I lied to her and I say, hey, you're fucking with my credit. And it probably really is anyways. I said, you're really messing with my credit. Turn the power on. I mean, they're going to turn the power off. And they turned it off on her and they lived in the house for a week with no power. And she called me up and goes, look, I paid the electric, but they need you to call them so you can have it turned back on. And I'm all, what am I doing to myself here?
Yeah. Well, okay. So with all that being said, best case scenario, what would you like to have happen? I mean, this is a house that's been passed down to you and you have these people living in it.
I got
to
get rid of the house. You know what? I'm never going to move back into it. I'm with a girl after 50 years of my entire life. I got three daughters, so I can't say I didn't. But my last two wives were shit shows. And now I'm in a happy place in my life. And
you don't need this. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. So I hate to keep harping on these tenants here, but they hold a lot of cards as far as the timing of all of this.
Okay.
What do you think they will do when they hear that the house is being sold?
Well, here's the thing. I told them, at the very beginning, I said, look, here's the deal. I'm going to make you sign a lease, but if I need the house back, I'm going to give you a 3-month warning. Or if you guys bail, I would like to have the same courtesy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, 3 months, they'll move. I know they'll move. I mean, it's just, okay. I mean, they're 100% back still.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that makes it a little easier. So they did a year lease. They've been there 6 months. There's 6 months left on the lease, but you have this 3-month safeguard of sorts?
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, if I told them right now, look, I need the house back in 3 months. I think she says they paid. Then they did pay in advance. So...
yeah.
I mean, I don't remember if they paid 2 or 3 months. She says it's 3 months, but sure she would.
Yeah, of course. But
I mean, I don't even care.
What do you think?
Talking to your partner,
yeah.
I was thinking, hell, even if I sell the house and I give them some sort of, get the fuck out money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Do you think it would ever be possible that like an eviction would have to happen?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what the laws and everything are, but they...
Well, in Arizona, you have to give a 30-day written notice.
Correct.
Right? And then they have that time to vacate. And if they're like, no, we're going to stay, then a formal eviction has to go through. It's a major pain in the ass.
And I don't think they would do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they did, I'll shut everything off. I have every legal right to do it. It's in my name.
Yeah. I mean, also with that, when it comes to summer, you shutting off like the electricity and stuff like that, they're not going to let that happen.
Sure.
It can certainly turn into more of a shit show than it is now, which is, it's honestly, when it really comes down to it, it's neither here nor there when I purchase a house, Bob. It's just,
right.
I like to like just get all my ducks in a row so we kind of know what we're,
totally understand.
We're getting
I
up mean,
if
against.
I dangle a $5,000, if I tell them now, look, you're not going to, they owe me rent this month on the 14th. I said, look, I'll let you slide this month. And I mean, I don't know how fast you guys could do everything on your end. You know what I mean?
Fast.
But if I do that, and when the house sells, I dangle a $5,000 carrot in front of them too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so perfect world for you, as fast as possible, ASAP, get them out, that kind of thing. In real world, you got to give them at least 30 days. And I mean, it sounds like at least 90 days, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So realistically, if like, let's say we put something together tonight, we would have, February, March 7th, April 7th. It would close essentially May, first couple weeks of May.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're looking at as far as the timeline goes. And this is if all things go well, right?
Sure.
But with that being said, if that, with that being said, let's say that they do become a problem and they decide they don't want to leave and an eviction is necessary. I really
don't foresee that.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I hope that's exactly what happens, but it's like one of those things that we have to prepare for time-wise, because we take out money, right? To do rehabs and things like that. So better to be, prepared than stuck in the wind with money you can't use.
Right, 100%.
Yeah. Okay, all right, cool. So
I don't know. I forget your partner's name.
Chad.
Chad? Mm-hmm. Was it Chad?
Yep.
Okay. I told him, did he tell you the whole story about how it was handed down and everything?
Yeah. He kind of gave me the clip notes. Like, it was your grandmother's and it was your mom's. And now, you're
both my grandparents and then my mom's, and my mom got super sick. And I had to end up putting her in a home in like 2014 area. And then I moved into that house, and then, she passed away in 2017, and I was an executor of the estate and her power of attorney and everything, but with going through with mom and everything, I just never, somehow the house never got in my name, and I should have put it in my name.
Okay.
Talking to your guy, he says, well, I got a probate attorney that was super quick on stuff. So
yeah,
we would work that way too.
So your power of attorney, or you just haven't gotten it put in your name yet?
No, I never see. I think when you get, I'm not sure of the Arizona laws, but I've talked to several different attorneys and nobody really knows because of it. But talking to different attorneys, when your mom passes and I'm power of attorney, everything seems to.
Yeah. Help, typically, right? if you have a death certificate and you're power of attorney, then a sale can go through like seamlessly.
I have all that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and I say that, and I've dealt with the problem, that kind of like situation before, but I always leave it to title. We send all that stuff to title and they work for both of us. They don't work for me. They don't work for you. They're just making sure that everything gets transferred over legally. And so they ultimately get the final word on what needs to happen. So if they get all that paperwork and they go, yep, this is all we need. Cool. Easy peasy. If they go, listen, yeah, we need to go through the probate process, then, we put you under our guy, Dustin. He does all of our probate stuff. He is phenomenal. And especially if you don't have any conflicts, right, as far as somebody else who wants the property.
Nobody.
It usually goes by pretty fast. I mean, it would certainly.
Nobody else. It's just me and then my daughter's after me. But
yeah. So it would certainly be done before that 3-month, kind of timeline that you end up having to give the tenants.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would all happen in unison, right? Title doing what they need, probate doing what they need, if that is the case. And then, perfect world scenario, May 7th comes around, they're out of the house, you get money in the bank, we own the house, and we go from there.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess the biggest question at this point is, with everything going on and all those things, what kind of offer are you expecting to get?
Well, and I pulled the house up on Zillow, and I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's an older home, and I understand air conditioning is probably going to need to be replaced. But if you saw pictures of it prior, I mean, not the AC, but I put all new floorings in when I moved in there. I mean, a beautiful floor, refrigerators, stove, everything's new in there. I painted it. Well, somebody's going to have to paint again, I'm sure.
Sure, sure.
But, and I know for a fact you guys got to make a shit ton of money.
Well, a shit ton is relative, Bob. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, is asking $225 too much?
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. What information did you find on Zillow? Like, I mean, it's always.
As soon as I get off the phone with your friend, I mean, I've been looking at it for a while because I've been thinking about doing this, but these people have just pushed me over.
Yeah.
Zillow says $285.
Right. Okay. And are you familiar with like what that means, like that Zestimate number, what that actually like stands for?
I'm thinking it's hopefully what the comps and around the neighborhood and everything are.
So Zillow kind of has an algorithm. They take a whole bunch of properties in the area that kind of hopefully match, what your property is. And they go, okay, if everything is completely up to date in this house, 2024 standards, no repairs, you could list it at this price. So that's what
I know it's not. And I know there's going to have to be, I mean, not a shit ton of, the property is huge. The backyard is huge. I mean, there's been so many upgrades to this house. I mean, it's an older home, but it's nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I got shitheads in there.
Yep. No, that's how it goes. Okay. So, I mean, you said you put flooring in. How long ago was that?
I put flooring in, let me think, in 17.
Okay. All right. No, so
and really nice, the you know, the plank flooring, the not it's ceramic tile. So
sure,
it's, I mean, it's
sure, okay,
you know, the 3 foot by 6s.
Okay, so I mean, for what you know about the property and maybe about what people are doing in houses nowadays, sure, what do you think it would cost to update this to kind of fit what the 2024 standard would be for homes in the area?
To like make it like put on the market like totally 100%?
Because that's what we do. Yeah.
Right. I would probably say with an you're going to probably have to put a new air conditioner in. I mean, the roof is 100% fine. I do the roof all the time. The fascia boards have been all replaced. It's painted half the, probably you could, I don't know, 20 grand to make it look like holy shit. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I'll be completely transparent here, Bob. 225. No, yeah, no, I always will be. I can promise you that. You know, I talked to my finance manager before I got on the call with you to kind of get an idea, and he runs his comps. Like, you're kind of familiar with how that all happens and how we get to our offers.
Sure.
Yeah. So we look at other houses in the area, fit the same square feet, beds and baths, year built, all that stuff. And then, and we look at, you know, what those houses sold for, what we might need to do in your house to match those houses. And then we figure out numbers as far as that. Sure. So Zillow can be a good place to look at what other houses are selling them for the area. But until you go on the MLS and see what houses are sold for that haven't been listed, that are like purchased by cash buyers, it's a whole different kind of ball game. Right. And so like the ones that we looked at that fit, like I see one, it's on Shiloh. It's for like 60.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. 1,659 square feet, 9,300 square lot, 73 built, and it went for 108. And this was on 117 of last year. Now, with that being said, I don't know what the inside looks like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How much did you say that was?
108,540.
Oh, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, I know. And so these are just numbers that we're looking at. There's another one on Loquat. It's 1,600 square feet, a little over. It sold for 110. And that was last year, last month as well.
I will tell you, I mean, you could put 20 grand into this home and probably get way over what, you know what I mean? I mean, no way. I couldn't even come close to that.
Yeah, no. And I, you know what, honestly,
and I understand that you guys have to make, you know, a shit ton of money.
See, that's the thing. We're not trying to make a shit ton. We're not buying Lamborghinis or anything. We just, you know, we got to make some kind of profit. You know what I mean? But no, a shit ton is far fetched. We just want to be in the green when it comes down to it. And real estate is inherently risky. It's just,
so I will tell you that this house has had add-ons on it too. So I don't know if that makes a difference or anything like that.
Yeah.
So the square footage is probably the square footage is probably another 200 or 250 on top of what it really says.
And that's great because the comps that we looked at are 1659, 1625, 1619. So that kind of fits, you know, the same kind of number scale that we're working with. But see, when I talk to my finance guy,
I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to sell you, but the house is in the back of a cul-de-sac.
No, for sure. The location is
the backyard is freaking humongous.
Yeah, no, the location is great. I mean, that helps always. So, I mean, I knew when I was talking to my finance guy and he was saying that, you know, his number would be like in that 115, 120 range. And he's always conservative, Bob, always.
Sure.
He's the low risk guy. And I'm the customer service facing guy who figures out what you need and then try to find some ground that works for both sides. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, I would say he's at 120. I know that's too low. I mean, how close can you
get? $200,000 on this house.
Oh, I mean, I wish I had a crystal ball.
Right.
So if he's at 120, how close would you be able to get and still feel comfortable moving forward? I mean, with all the stuff that is happening in the house, like, what do you think would be best case for you?
You want me to just tell you like what I think my bottom number possibility would be? And that would be getting them out of there. And with the money, I mean, I don't know how much your probate guy is. Is it 2,000? Is it 5,000?
No, typically like what I've seen in the recent past, and these are like easy probates, it's like $600.
Oh, well, holy shit, then I would eat that. But I was thinking like 5 grand.
No. It wouldn't be anything that extravagant. It's
possible. I mean, grandparents, the mom, and I have the death certificate and I was power of attorney and everything else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, when it really comes down to what needs to be done, you and I, once we figure something out and get an agreement taken care of, you and I are never going to stop talking. You know what I mean? Any moving part, we're going to figure out how to make it work and continue forward.
Okay. Can you hold 1 second?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The plumber's on his phone. I'm calling you.
No, right now. That's okay. I'll hang tight.
Oh, if it hangs up because I'm not very good at switching, I'll call you right back.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to take that.
No, I get it. Like, yeah, the plumbing stuff, you want to make sure that you're on top of it.
Yep.
So you just kind of let me know. Like, I know okay. Once.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line, oh my God, I hate myself for saying this, but I mean, if the attorney and everything is super cheap and all that, I don't think I could let it go for under 175. And I think that's reasonable. Just if you guys put, let's just say you put 25 into it, right?
Sure.
You're going to get, I mean, your return's going to at least be 50K. I mean, I don't know what you guys need to make. You know what I mean?
I mean, 50K would be amazing, but it's always, like I said, real estate, stock market's always risk. You put money into it and you hope for the best return possible. Sure. I mean, I appreciate the flexibility. I really do. So 120, 175. I mean, and that's true bottom line. That's you, like, that's us paying closing costs.
Oh my God, I kicked myself. But I mean, if I went through a realtor, I mean, I called a realtor friend of mine, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago and asked him.
Yeah.
And he roughly thought we could probably get realistically 230 to 250 for it. But I know times have changed.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. It's so. Well, let me ask you this, Bob. Let me ask you this. So, I mean, you've done, as far as I'm concerned, you've done your part to try to make this work and be flexible. So give me 2 minutes. Can you give me 2 minutes? And I'm going to shoot a text over to my finance guy. And like I said, like he's always very conservative. I get to make the final decision, but I just want to run it by him just real quick. Okay. And then if I can
realistically right back though, right? I can't find my wallet. That's why I'm
using. No, I'm not getting off the phone with you, Bob. I'm just gonna text him real quick. Okay. So I mean, realistically, if I can work him up to 175, are you ready to put something together, like on the phone with me right now, get this done?
Yeah, move on it. 100%.
Okay. Is there anything you can think of that might keep you? So like if I get 175 and he convinces me of that and I convince him of that, like you're ready to go.
Any paperwork you freaking need.
Okay, give me just a minute, okay? I'm going to come back on the phone with just like 30 seconds, okay?
No, you're good. Thank you.
Let's freaking go.
I love this.
Ryan. That
was good. Doable?
Go, Ryan. What? I'm over here just like jaw drop.
Me too. I'm,
where do like, you need it at, Ryan?
Like, oh, hi.
Yeah, that's what I
mean,
gonna
170 was going to be like,
oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
I want to see the rest of this.
That's crazy, man. Because he went down, what, 50K?
All right. Hold tight, guys. Bob.
Sir.
Okay. So I got him up, man. He's very hesitant. Like, what's that?
Would you sound like a cover salesman?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's all sales stuff. It makes me feel queasy, honestly. His biggest concern is just the tenants. And in the 3 months lapse before we can actually do anything with the house.
Okay.
But I mean, like I said,
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to give me the money until they're fucking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, sure. And I mean,
I don't want to kick them out and you guys, it falls, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. Cause you still want to keep anybody in. I mean, the chances of still getting that rent is important. So let's get down to the kind of nitty gritty of it. Okay. So,
okay.
We got the offer price. The close date would essentially be May 7th. Is that what we're kind of pushing for?
Well, I'm heading over to that house right now to meet the plumber to go back up on the roof and redo this thing. Yeah. I mean, they owe me rent on the 14th. Do I tell them to freaking eat it or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give them 3 months and say, okay, 3 months are out.
Okay. So I'm going to have May 7th put as a close date. So earnest money, we do 1%. So I'll do 17,500 for earnest money. Now the inspection period, are you familiar with what the inspection period is?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. I thought we were bypassing all that.
Well, Well, here's the thing. We're bypassing any of the nickel and diming. Like, we're not going to go in and go, oh, well, it's going to be 500 here and 700 here. This is for big ticket items, like huge plumbing issues, huge electrical issues, dead bodies under the floor, like that kind of stuff. Now, I know you said there's some plumbing stuff, right? Now, that is understood. So we just need to get an idea of what that actually is. Now, is it $1,000? Cool. We can handle that. Is it $15,000? That's very different.
Right. Sure. 100%.
Right. And so with that being said, let's say we send our guys in and they go, hey, listen, they give us a report. It's going to be $12,000 to do this plumbing stuff. I come to you and I go, hey, Bob, this is a report. Look at the numbers. This is what they need to do. And then we figure out whether you want to continue forward and lower it
$12,000 out of me, or is that $6,000 off of you and $6,000 off of me?
Well, I mean, that would certainly be a negotiating part if that bridge ever came. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But we certainly wouldn't
think we're going to have that. There's really, truly no issues with this house. I mean, like I was telling your friend, AC would 100% have to be replaced. I guarantee you that much.
Okay.
Anything else? Flooring in the house? No. The two back bedrooms of that are carpeted? Probably, because you know what? Who knows what's under all the shit that they've done. But when I lived there, everything was fine. And when I just gave it to them 6 months ago, it's fine. But I mean, the carpet was probably 8 years old at the time. But just me being a single guy, I mean, I'm a clean freak, and that's what this house is killing me over.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I'd rather dump this house than freaking see it do what it's doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I get you. So it's a sentimental kind of
this house.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, so I mean, like I said, with the inspection, it's not to nickel and dime. It's just to make sure that we know exactly what we're getting. And if it comes down to it, if some shit is going on, then you and I are going to talk about it and figure out what's going to work best and move it forward. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, so for that, like, I'm not going to start the inspection period until probably like the beginning of April.
Now, let me ask you this. So I get them out of there. You want me to paint and do everything? Or
no, nope. See, the whole point of this is I don't want you to do any more than you need to do with the house. I don't need you to clean up. I don't need you to fix drawers. I don't need you to clean baseboards. I don't need any of that. Like,
wow. I would feel fucking shitty leaving somebody a house.
Well,
like
see,
that.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I get that it's an inherited house. Like, it's kind of your, you know, it's been passed down. So you do what you feel is necessary, but I don't want you to go above and beyond. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of the convenience of what we do, kind of the ease of what we do. It's supposed to be part of the process. So, right. And when it's really said and done, you know, you and I can talk. You'd be like, hey, there's this going on. Should I do it? You know, and I'll probably tell you don't. You know, if it's something that you've already started, then I feel like you probably
I'm not gonna pull out the carpets that I know.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know what I mean?
Because it's gonna happen anyway. So you don't need to be doing any extra work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so I'm gonna send this over. So yeah, hang on. What's your email address, Bob?
It's @gmail.com.
All right, so @gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So this is going to get written up in the next 2.5 minutes here and sent over to you, okay? Do you mind kind of just staying on the phone and shooting the shit with me for a bit?
No, I'm still like 10 minutes away from the rental property, so.
Okay, cool. So that should be sent over. Okay, so that the agreement should be in your email. I'm guessing you're probably just going to do it on your phone.
Well, I can't really. Yeah, I have to do it on my phone, but I'm going to tell you, I'm like 5 minutes away from them. So
okay. To
deal with this plumber and then.
Well, can we do this?
Let's you put a number in there.
Yeah. So
can you just tell me?
Well, say that again.
Can you just tell me what the number is?
The number for what?
What your offer is.
175, man.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. It's yours.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wouldn't continue going forward with this if I didn't have an idea of what you needed.
Right.
I mean, would you give it to me for 165?
So weird.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's no fucking other closing cost, or I didn't have to pay for repairs, or you know what I mean? If you wanted to do, I mean, I want the 175.
Yeah.
And if I don't have to pay for that attorney and all that, you tell me what I'm going to walk with, and then that's my happy.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Like,
I mean, I'll drop it to 170 right now if you take care of the attorney and everything.
Okay, well then, fine. Like, let's do that then, because that would make my finance manager so much happier if we did 170 and we take care of the probate aspect of things.
You take care of that, and you. I mean, I don't want to deal with anything. I just want them out, and I'm not. I don't even know if I should. Do I tell them today, or do I?
No, like
on Wednesday and tell them then, or how do I do this?
Well, no, just hold off. I mean, you don't want to stir the pot, you know, any sooner than you have to. Let's
collect the rent then, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just keep collecting rent, and you want to keep collecting rent for as long as possible, honestly. Now, if there's some what'd you say?
I mean, because I have that deal with them.
Yeah, the 3 months. If you got to let them know 3 months in advance, I mean,
right.
I mean, what's today's the 7th? Did you get rent yet?
No, I mean, I collected on the 14th because that's the second Wednesday for Social Security, I guess, how it works. I don't know. But why don't I collect
yes.
on the 14th and then I tell them this is your 3 month notice. I'm selling the house.
Yeah, let's do that. So we would need the agreement. I mean, if you can't complete it tonight, that would be amazing, because that's what I told my finance guy. I told him, hey, he's ready to go. And that's what allowed me to kind of get that price up. You know what I mean?
So that means I wouldn't be able to collect the rent on Wednesday?
No. You still collect the rent. And I mean, as far as the close on the 7th, that's perfectly fine. Like, if we need to push it to the 14th, it's not going to show in the agreement, but that's so easy to do. I would stay put and collect the rent on the 14th.
Okay. I'm not going to even hint to them right now, right?
No, I personally wouldn't.
Okay. But just when I collect the money and they hand me the money, I'm just going to say, hey, per our agreement prior to everything, this is your three month notice.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, $1,600 extra dollars a month kind of helps me out with everything else I'm doing. When would I get paid from you guys and on the exact closing date, or how does that work?
Yep. So whenever it closes, it gets recorded with the county, and then money gets hit in the bank 24 to 48 hours after closing.
Could it close while they're still in there, or no way?
I mean, it could, but that kind of adds risk to us, right? So,
yeah,
and that's one of those things, that's one of those moving parts that you and I are going to continue kind of figuring out. Like I said, okay. Bob, like, it's not like we get off the phone here and I'm like, all right, well, I hope you make it. Like, we're in constant communication.
Yeah.
You know,
like next Wednesday, I tell them, look, it's over. We're done. We're going to separate ways.
Yeah.
I call you and they said, okay, they'll be out by May. I don't know. I'm just using a date. May 15th. They'll be gone.
Yeah. And I mean, make sure they know they still need to pay rent. You know what I mean? This isn't like they don't get
well,
to free.
Well, listen to me.
Well, that's okay.
Because at the very beginning, they paid, I think they... She says 3 months, but I know they paid 2 months in advance, but she says 3 months. But I wouldn't be collecting any more rent from them. You know what I mean?
I mean, still put it in their mind that they need to pay rent. It's going to ruin their credit because of X, Y, and Z, whatever.
They don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would let them live there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I owe them 3 months, I owe them 3 months.
Sure.
I'm okay with that.
I'd be curious. How did you get the lease drafted? Like who wrote the lease?
No, me and my girlfriend found it. It was just a generic one online.
Why don't you, when it's all said and done, like you should just send it over to me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to take a look at it and we'll kind of see.
Just remember, I mean, we had that agreement that I told them that, hey, I need the house. I'm giving you 3 months or, you know, if something happens where you guys need to fucking leave, I'm okay with just a 3 month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's not in the lease. That's, I think, on my phone somewhere or text messages or in a, that was just like, hey, and we've talked about that several times and she knows if I need the house, they just need a 3 month heads up.
Okay. I mean, I'd still have the conversation like, listen, you can't stay here for free. You still need to pay the rent. You know, you can send them to me. We'll help them find the next place if it really comes down to that.
You don't want this on your worst nightmare.
Well, I've dealt with my share of people. But, I mean, it's just one of those things to try to make this as easy as possible. We don't want them sticking around if we don't have to.
Right. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So that agreement should be in your email. I know you're dealing with the house right now. So when you're done, just give me a call. And then we can kind of walk through it and answer any questions that you have and get this thing going.
Okay. Would you mind if, I mean, because as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to go home and I'm just going to unwind. Or is there any, I swear to you, I'm not doing this with anybody else. I'm going to do it with you. Can we deal with it tomorrow or no way?
No, I think that'll be okay. That's reasonable. Okay. You're dealing with all kinds of shit today. I don't want to.
I promise you.
I'm not even going to tell my finance guy because it just makes me look stupid. So, I mean, we talk tomorrow morning and we get it all said and done. It'll be perfectly fine.
Okay. Now, I'm dealing with everything through my phone. So how do I sign or do that kind of stuff?
So you're just going to pull up your email and then it's going to be a DocuSign. It's going to be from Brent Daniels. He's the owner of the company. And then it's easy. You're initialing each page. It's like four pages. It's just to get the ball rolling with title. You'll go through actual closing docs close to the closing day where you send out a notary.
So
and
we have to do the probate prior to all that?
No. We're going to get this going and have title open it, and they're going to decide if probate's needed.
Okay.
So when we get the agreement done, we'll send it over. You send me the your mom's death certificate and your POA information, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
Okay. What else do you need?
Nothing.
Okay. Any other?
I can't even tell you. This house has bothered me for ever since I let these fucking people in here. But I got a weight off my chest right now. I mean, sure, I wanted 300. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, I'm telling you what, man. Like, you are getting a good price. I know what you see online. It kind of shows you different, but I'm telling you, this is a good price.
Okay, and I understand you guys are going to have to put money. You know, and
I'm sure.
The person that goes, well, you're only going to make 20,000 off me, so I need 260. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Person, I understand how all that works. I really, truly do.
Good. And you know what? And it seems like you do. You're absolutely reasonable. You're rational. Like, I feel comfortable working with you, so hopefully you feel comfortable working with me.
Yep, 100%.
All right, cool. Well, this is my cell.
What time are you in the office? I won't hit you up too early.
I'm
start work at 7. Somewhere between 9 and 10, I'll holler at you.
I'm up at 5:30. You can call me at 5:31. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I won't do that. I promise.
No, yeah, just as soon as you have 5 minutes, just give me a ring. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your time.
All right, Bob, I'll talk to you.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at WholesalingInc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.